seeking with empty hands. Seeking it yourself with empty hands, you return with empty hands. In that place where fundamentally nothing is acquired, you really acquire it. Zen is filled with contradictions, seeming impossibilities. Emptiness is form, form is emptiness. Seek nothing and you really acquire it. The Heart Sutra, you know, nothing to gain, and those who practice, you know, gain enlightenment. So the logical mind, so conditioned to try to avoid contradiction or paradox that it often wants to choose what's true, which is right. And part of our practice is watching our minds vacillate back and forth between one and the other. Until we see that this is just the work of the mind. That the Heart Sutra is words. It's pointing to something that is very alive for us. In a way, pointing beyond itself. All of us have heard the metaphor of a finger pointing at the moon. And don't get lost just staring at the finger. There's something beautiful beyond it. So here's another of these seemingly contradictory passages. I'm reminded of Shunryu Suzuki, who encouraged people to practice with no gaining idea. In all likelihood, every single one of us, myself included, came to Zen, came to meditation, came to this tradition, maybe even this evening. Imagining that there was something we might gain in this practice. And in line with so many other contradictions, of course we gain something. We gain each other's company, for one thing. Maybe we gain some peace and quiet for a little while, were it not for this blabbermouth in the front of the room. So, of course, there is some kind of experience that we share, that we are having together, that is meaningful. But Shunryu Suzuki was offering us an encouragement by saying, practice with no gaining idea. We might imagine that we will become enlightened, for example. That we will understand these mysteries of Zen. And the paradox is that that which we seek, we already are. And there is something, often there is something in us that just can't believe it. I can't already be a Buddha. Kanzeyan, this Buddha, receives only compassion. And the judging mind arises and says, oh, not me. My mind receives a lot of anger and frustration and things that I would describe as other than compassion. Well, that's because you're a human being. And so is Buddha. So this must be pointing to something different. Pointing to the realm of non-differentiation. The realm where everything that arises is simply thus. And whatever we label it, this anger that arises is simply another form of compassion, an energy that arises, pure, without shame or blame, undivided from itself, beyond any kind of story, just this raw energy, this energetic presence, in a sense no different from the breath or a bird song or a clanky heating system. Thus, thusness. These words make no sense from a logical point of view, where things are either this or that. How could an energetic presence that reminds us of anger also be compassion? How could you be a Buddha? And so we sit, not to become a Buddha, but to see what we already are. To see what we are in this moment, what is present. All of these teachings encourage us not to seek to be something other than what we are, but to realize what we are in this moment. And for many of us, this is an act of faith, because the teaching says we're already Buddhas, and we can't believe it. But that not believing is just your Buddha mind manifesting in the form of doubt. And meanwhile, the sounds of the world are singing in your heart. So intimate. No gap between you and the universe. You and all beings have attained the way already. There's nothing to seek. Every once in a while, we taste this as we sit still. Just notice what is already present. We can even watch our judging mind arise, held by the world, the mind chit-chatting away at us in the middle of a spacious world. We're told that our innate nature is of compassion, because we bear witness to things just as they are, and we feel everything in our hearts. So our job is simple. There's nothing that you need to become. There's nothing that we need to change about ourselves. So we can come here and simply give ourselves to the forms and let the forms do the work for us. See, because otherwise we come in and imagine that we need to do the work. Come in and I can imagine, I need to do this work. I need to realize something. I need to attain something. And our practice becomes rather self-centered. The forms offer us something. They offer a container that we can have faith in. And we can let the forms do the work. We become one with the forms. And the gap between us and the forms falls away. We become the forms. We are the form together. And we realize that we aren't separate from each other. So as you step, I take my step at the same time. Because I don't need to be special or different. I try to be as silent as I can as I sit here with you. Because I don't need to be different. Each of us doing our best to be upright and still. It's one of the few places in life where the point is not to stand out, right? It's to be one with the forms. To bow at the same time, to chant at the same time. And in a sense, this separate sense of self vanishes. Seems scary at first, maybe. There's a real irony here. What's happening is that a deeper level of yourself is emerging. So even though we're practicing the forms, stepping at exactly the same time, nonetheless, each of us walks in our own way. Even though we're bowing at exactly the same time, nonetheless, each of us expresses that bow in our own unique way. This is the coming together of the relative and absolute truth. You are an individual. And we are not separate. Ourselves, as we know, Thich Nhat Hanh says, ourselves are made of non-self elements. This individual self is made up of things that is not itself. Made up of the breath, which comes and goes, thoughts which come and go, the body, ever changing. So even though we are independent as existences, we are also utterly interwoven, part of the fabric of the universe, quite literally. Our practice helps us realize this. This is our Buddha nature. It's already true. You don't need to be special, different, unique, have some special realization. Just practice with sincerity. Give ourselves completely to these forms. When we're sitting, give ourselves completely to sitting. Just this. And the whole universe manifests through our sitting. Our Buddha nature becomes clear. It's not something we need to make happen or construct. Just entrust ourselves. These very simple and beautiful forms. We don't get lost in our own agency. Of course, our will continues to arise. No need to worry about that. we will also continue to be individuals. That too is part of our Buddha nature. The rainbow is made of the elements of the sky, made of light. It's even made of the viewer who beholds it. No viewer, and the rainbow vanishes. This interdependence reveals our true nature, our interconnectedness. Where do we look to see this? That sounds so abstract and so cool. Where do I see that? I see it in our bodies touching the cushion. I see it in our breath. I see it in the thoughts flashing across the big blue sky of our mind. So simple. Nothing extra. Nothing you need to create. We can have faith in this, deep faith in our Buddha nature. Seeking with empty hands, seeking at yourself with empty hands, you return with empty hands. In that place where fundamentally nothing is acquired, you really acquire it. Thank you.